everybody, and welcome. Welcome, everybody. Yes, we're live on YouTube. Pep Talks. Woohoo! All right, I'm here with Steve Lolly. Excuse me, I'm Eddie Pepitone. Where's the cough button? imagine a guy thinks. And hello, YouTube, and this is just great. To be here. Imagine a guy thinks he has a cough button, but he doesn't. You know, every radio program is supposed to have a cough. It's like, but it does. There's no button, and all you're hearing is him just this horrible coughing, like he's like coughing you would hear, you know, in someone's final days.
Welcome to the podcast. The theme is joy as an act of rebellion today.
And oh, that's right. Yeah,
Eddie was.
What about that, folks? My friend Mike, from Michigan, said he listens to a punk band, and I forget. I'll get the name of it, but and they have an album, I think, called Joy, or a song called Joy, as an act of rebellion, and he says it puts him in a good frame of mind. You know, what do you think?
I think it's fine. Yeah,
but
unless
I mean,
it's fake. If it's fake joy, then it's creepy.
Well, that's
eerie.
That's not what we're talking about. What do you mean by
fake joy?
I think
sometimes people put on fake veneer of joyousness and happiness in order to,
yeah,
you know, cover up for the fact that, you know,
they're miserable.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the dark side of it. But
well, one thing that's good about people covering up their misery is that they're not inflicting it on you.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a vape instead of a cigarette. You know, you know the vape isn't any good for the person smoking.
It's hard to follow Steve Lolly's metaphors sometimes because they're very subtle. A vape and a cigarette, to me, is a wisp of a difference.
No, but the vape doesn't affect the secondhand smoke. You don't have to smell
okay.
A cigarette.
So okay, now I got gotcha.
You. Now you get it.
Yeah, it's nice that people, like, pretend to be, oh, hi, Ted, how are you? Oh, everything's going great. Meanwhile, Ted has just stuffed the head of his three children, three heads, in a duffel bag.
Yeah.
And he's on his way to, like, bury them. Because imagine if people really did tell you what was really going on, which I tend to do to audiences.
Yeah, and they pay you. They pay you to do that. There's people walking around who are not getting paid to do that, who are just doing it flailingly, failingly.
But imagine if, like, just everybody told you exactly what was going on. Like, you go, hey, Ted, what's going on? What's going on? I had to kill my children because I can't afford to feed them. That's what's going on. And then you're like, oh, and you're the guy who pretends everything's all right. You know, you're like,
it could have been worse.
It could have been worse, Ted. Do you have any other kids? No, that's it. They were my life. Well, you still have your health there, Ted.
You still have your marriage. Well, maybe not for long.
She's dead, too. I killed her. Oh, well, then things aren't. Well, you know what, though? There's a great game on tonight. You got the Bruins, St. Louis Blues in the final. You know, you try to put a nice face on
it. You change the subject.
Yeah, but fake joy. That would be funny if Trump started talking about fake joy instead of fake news. Let me tell you something. I mean, you know, everybody does a Trump impersonation. Are you good at impersonations?
Not at all. I am, but I can't do Trump. I don't know. I didn't.
What do you do? What are some of your impersonations?
I can do Jack Nicholson.
Oh, come on. Everybody does. Let me hear your Nicholson. I mean, this is so old, though. Go ahead.
She could have been 15 when you get that little red beaver right up there. No man alive could resist that. And now they're crazy because they're telling me I'm crazy because I don't sit there like a goddamn vegetable. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me. If that's what being crazy is, then I'm senseless out of it, gone down the road wacko.
What was that from?
Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay.
When he's pretending to be crazy to get out of the loony bin, he's telling the doctors.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What about you? Do you do any?
I don't really, and I'm thinking Trump. Like, I don't want to do Trump. Like, I get rebellious about doing impersonations. Rebellious because I feel like everybody's doing Trump, so I don't want to do him, you know? Fantastic. Like, everybody does the same thing, you know? Like, oh, let me tell you, it's a fantastic, you know, our new Secretary of Education, she is amazing. She hasn't read a book. She hasn't read a book.
That's not bad, actually. That's a kind of a fun. You went somewhere between like a French ventriloquist and a.
But I feel like you shouldn't do impersonations unless you're really good at them. You know what I mean? If you're really good at them, there's something very funny about seeing another human being. Yep. James Domian is great.
Yeah, he does you better than anyone I've ever heard.
Yeah, Domian is great. And he's been doing Trump lately. But his Bernie Sanders is amazing. And it's what he does with it. He takes it to such lunacy places. And that is a fun thing to do with Trump or with like a figure like that. That would satisfy me. Like, I'm always about getting satisfied creatively, you know?
Yeah, you know, I do a Woody Allen.
Let's hear it.
Why would you even bring me on the show? You know, why would you even force me to be on this? You know, I wasn't even involved in this joke, you know, and you forced me in.
That's a good Woody Allen. That's a good Woody. Climate change. Ooh, it's hot. Is it hot in here? Or am I just on a bad date?
That was the early Woody. That was like the early 70s. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, Woody impersonation now would be, just please, I've already spoken. I've already addressed the Mia Farrow accusations. And, you know, I think if you do research on her, she's insane. I was acquitted. But what's funny to me, though, are the obscure and interesting, instead of Woody Allen, Jack Nicholson, you know, which so many people do.
Thanks.
No, but...
They do, I know.
But isn't it great to, like, have someone who can do...
Okay,
like,
so who?
Well, I don't know. You know, just someone who isn't done a lot.
You know, Rick Overton did Morgan Freeman when he was here.
Morgan Freeman, yeah. Andy Dufresne... Andy Dufresne. Andy lacked freedom. Oh. But the guy who worked in the library, I can't remember his name right now. Let's see. Do you do a Morgan Freeman?
No.
Was Rick's very good?
It was pretty good. It was okay.
Good.
I'm going to collect bees for a living now. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
No, but I mean, really good. Like, who would be an incredible, like, Anderson Cooper, Wolf Blitzer? Like, you know? Tonight, breaking news. Joy as an act of rebellion. Is it hippie speak? Is it doable? Joy. How great would the news be if it did do issues like that? Like, joy. Our top story tonight, joy as an act of rebellion, is being floated among people. You know, boy, I'm just thinking lately about, I woke up with a lot of anxiety this morning at about 3:30 in the morning. And I haven't had this happen in a while, you know, it probably because I went on Zoloft, you know, the antidepressant, and it's worked pretty well for me. And I used to have insomnia a lot. Like, I had insomnia a lot, which is really anxiety, it's anxiety, depression, insomnia.
Can you put your finger on where, I mean, is it something that in your life that's affecting that? That's like
The insomnia?
Yeah.
That I had last night or this night? Last night? This... probably. I mean, I probably, you know, I've got a couple of things going on that are stressful, you know. I'm about to go back east for a little bit, you know. I always get a little nervous when I'm going to travel. Financial issues have been a little hairy lately. Stuff everybody deals with, though, right?
But it's just a reaction to...
I get so... The way I'm wired is I just feel like, oh, fuck, man, things aren't going to work out. You know what I mean? They're not going to work out, you know. And that's why when Mike Bobbitt, you know, talked about joy as an act of rebellion, I just loved it because I get into that groove of negative thinking, or it is a groove I'm in. I don't get into it. It's just my default, is I go negative.
So things could be going along great in your life. Everything's going great. And you could default there still?
Well, when things are going, like I've had some really great days, and that's not to brag. And look, folks, you could have that too if you just, if you just buckle down, you could have a couple of great days. Look, I just turned 60, and I've had, I would say, upwards of
15
great days, wow. Something like that.
In your 60th year.
My 60th year. Now, how many days is that? Well, 365 times 10 is 3,650.
But we haven't been through a full calendar year on your 60th year yet, though. So we can't, right?
Oh, really? Yeah, let's not get too optimistic. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I really do want to start beating that negativity, like... just not giving into it, which I don't. I mean, I live a pretty interesting life, I mean, I get out there. I don't let it paralyze me. And I also utilize tools like I utilize a shrink. I haven't seen a shrink in a while, though. And I think I think is affecting me. I, have been in therapy for a while, but I haven't been in since I think it was something like August, almost a year. And I think I feel
maybe
that a little bit.
You should go back,
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. When I get into a therapeutic relationship with someone, I always find them ultimately a little deflating. Like because with me, I go into therapy thinking, okay, this person is going to change my life. This person is going to.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's bad expectation, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too much, right?
Yeah.
How do you deal with anxiety? Because we have a caller who called about that too. Let's go to this call. This was a great call, and it's right on topic to what we're talking about. Here we go. Let's see. May. Let's see if we...
if you got the right one.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
Hey, Eddie. Yeah, I know you guys haven't been getting a lot of calls lately, so I figured I'd leave a voicemail. I just don't want to... I mean, honestly, I could talk to you guys every week, but I don't want to be that guy, oh, Jesus, this guy again. But anyway, I had a health scare a few weeks ago. I actually had my first panic attack in my life. I actually thought it was a heart attack because my heart just kept beating out of control. I woke up one morning, and then I went to the emergency room. The next day it happened. Actually, closer I was getting to work, which is kind of a sign it was probably a panic attack. I went in there. They did the EEG both times, and they're like, "No, your heart's fucking fine." So it's a hell of a thing. I mean, so right now, I'm on a blood pressure medicine just to get my heart rate, my blood pressure down. So that's normal, but it was scary. I kind of thought I was going to die, I'll be honest. And that's a very confronting thing, which I know is kind of the greatest, the greatest, thing you could say that's whatever. Yeah. So anyway, I'm actually, to be honest, I'm still a little shaken up by it because, you're kind of facing eternity by yourself, It was a crazy thing, especially since I have a kid, 8 weeks away from being, no, actually it's 5 weeks away from being born. I was like, ah, shit, I'm not even going to see my own kid. So, and I know that Eddie has panic attacks, and I know Steve suffers from anxiety sometimes too, he said too, also. So I guess that's the takeaway from all this is panic attacks, anxiety. How do you deal with it? Has it ever scared you before? So I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Did we get a name?
No.
Anyway, thank you for that call. What about now? First of all, I think what was amazing about that call, and I don't even know if he realized it, but he kind of buried the lead because I think the reason, because whenever
facing eternity alone.
Facing Eternity Alone is a great, we all do though, don't we? Like ultimately, even if we have around us all our family and friends, which in my case would be the mailman. If.
Well, I think we just figured out Eddie's problem.
You know, maybe the cable guy.
You're the only guy in North Hollywood that still pays for cable just to have someone around.
Me still paying for cable, by the way, is another issue we have to get into because I don't know why I'm doing it, and it's a lot of money, and I've been having anxiety worries. But here's where our caller, buried the lead. Not there. But he goes, at the end of the call, he goes, I'm like 8 weeks away from having my kid.
Right.
Like, now that's a huge, huge, huge life event.
Yeah, I think that explains his panic attack.
Completely. It certainly, I think, is a huge, huge, huge reason. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you have to look for in panic attacks. Like, okay, why am I having this now? And man, I didn't have a panic attack last night, but I felt like I could. Like the insomnia is kind of a beginning. Well, if you don't calm it.
The insomnia makes you worry.
Insomnia. Insomnia is a different one. Insomnia is when you're sleeping with a woman named Somnia. That's insomnia. Insomnia. Well, actually, that's a little more intimate.
Yeah.
No, but so, yeah, what were you going to say?
I forgot now. No, the insomnia.
Right, insomnia.
Yeah, no, but is, so you got the insomnia.
It's stuff that it's similar to a panic attack because it's like it's keeping it
you. Right, but you start thinking about why you can't sleep and then it panics you. Is that right? Like you think something's wrong, you worry, you go over the things in your head that are going wrong and what the reasons for this might be instead of just letting it go. And staying up and watching some Yankee highlights.
You feel like you can't let it go is why people get panic attacks. That's how insidious they are. It's like you feel like, you know, to say, oh, instead of just letting it go.
Right.
That's a gargantuan Herculean act.
Right. So there's a voice badgering you.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Right. So that's some demonic spiritual shit, dude.
Yes.
That's some you know, torment that's going on.
Torment, demonic.
Totally.
These are the biblical words I was looking for.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm joking, but I'm not, you know. That is very true. It's demonic. It's tormenting and it's unrelenting. And what happens is that you can't let it go.
It beats you down.
And it brings you to the point of, where your breath is short. And then you think you're going to die, like our this gentleman who just called in. I mean, he felt like he was having a heart attack. And I remember one of my panic attacks. But boy, that would be a funny show, like, or a bar that they had a theme night, panic attacks. Like you go into a bar and
the bar
or a club.
The club should just be called Panic Attack.
Club should be called Panic Attack. And you just go up and you talk about your latest panic attack or what was your fate. Not your favorite panic attack, but talk about a panic attack that really stood out. They all stand out because they're intense. But I had one where I was driving.
Right, to Rogan.
Oh, that was another one. I was driving to the Joe Rogan podcast. And yeah, I'll talk about that one. And it was on the 101. And a lot of my panic attacks
happened on the 101. Right where it meets the park.
It's a very scary highway out here. But no, a lot of my panic attacks sometimes are triggered by claustrophobia. And it was a hot day and heat. Heat and claustrophobia.
Maybe that's why you haven't had panic attacks, because this has been a very cool, rainy year. I mean,
well, the summer's coming. I'm dreading the summer.
It's coming, and you're in the valley.
Maybe. Imagine you and my shrink just making it worse. And you're in the valley. Would you like to hear my Nicholson? Would you like to hear my Nicholson? Oh, the heat's coming, huh? Oh, the heat's like a little beaver. So I was on the 101, and it was all of a sudden, and it was an off hour. It was like I was going over to Rogan's at like 1 in the afternoon when there shouldn't be traffic. All of a sudden, I hit murderous traffic on the 101. It was super hot, and I'm going to Joe Rogan's podcast to be a guest, and I just started having, you know, it just comes on.
The first panic attack I ever had was... And I don't get them often, but the first one I ever had was on 4th of July about 7 or 8 years ago, and the traffic wasn't moving, and it was 4th of July.
Oh,
Marina,
was the traffic
Marina Del Rey, and I got out of my car like Michael Douglas and falling down.
You did?
I just left my car.
That's a real
car.
Like Michael Douglas and falling down.
Yeah, I put my fucking hazard lights on. I couldn't breathe like you're talking about. I put the hazard lights on. I pulled the car as close to the curb as I could. And I put the hazard lights on and I just walked.
Were you on the 101?
No, I was stuck by the beach in Marina Del Rey on 4th of July and like and I was high as fuck, by the way. And fireworks.
By the way.
Fireworks were going off like I was a Vietnam veteran.
By the way,
veteran.
I was high as fuck. Come on, you were high.
Yeah,
you
I
were
was.
Having a panic attack induced by weed, right?
Whatever drugs
it was.
I consumed. And I walked and I got out of Marina Del Rey and I walked on a residential street, and after about 5 or 10 minutes of walking, I felt better, and I went, I got to go back and get my car. But the walking helped get, I don't know, it was bad, man. Like, I felt like I was going to pass out, you know?
It does that to you. It does that to you as well. It feels like you're going to pass out because it cuts off your breath, you know? And for me, I guess, you know, our caller is talking about a huge life event, having a child. I believe he said his first son.
8 months.
8 weeks he was going to have.
Oh, is that what he
said? That's such a big step into adulthood and just into responsibility. You know, all that stuff. It's very similar to going to Joe Rogan's podcast. I mean, you know, that's a very well-liked podcast. And, you know, no, but for me, I think going over there, I was nervous about,
You wanted to do well.
I wanted to do well because it is, you know, a huge audience and blah, 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 you know.
Has he had you back?
No.
What happened, and I
utilized tools, is I had Klonopin on me, and I took a Klonopin, and...
It calmed you down.
Eventually it did. And when by the time I got to Rogan's, I was so mellow that I didn't have any kind of performing head. I was just very, like, just talking. And I really wasn't trying to be funny, which would have been nice to do because...
For once.
Anyway, thank you for the call. And by the way, if you want to call us, we have a number that you can call, you sons of bitches. If you want to leave a message, and that was a great message, for the podcast, 424-262-0904. If you want to leave a message, 424-262-0904. And we have some ads. Books for Dogs. You want to read Books for Dogs?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Is this a new sponsor?
I think so. This is the first time we've had Books for Dogs. People love dogs.
They do.
There's one right here. It's a simple fact. There are dog hotels, gourmet dog foods, even TV channels dedicated to dogs. There's even spas. Did you know that, Eddie? Not wanting to be left behind, Borders Bookstores come out with a grip of books to please even the finickiest of our four-legged friends. Borders Books for Dogs has a wide range of great smelling titles guaranteed to captivate your canine, such as 10 Sniffs to a Better Sniff, Poop or Not Poop, Divorce, the Easy Way for More Treats, The ABCs of Dry Humping, Grandparents, an Essential Guide, Metaphysics and Cats, Understanding Existentialism Through Dry Food, and Have You Seen My Balls? Each book has a large, sniffable page full of aroma to get your dog interested in reading. Goodreads says, I don't get it. The pages are blank and they smell like shit. Is this a fucking joke? You come into my office again, I'll fucking cut you. Goodreads don't play. Page Turner recommends, I can't wash off the smell. It's been 6 days and it still smells as if I went to Skid Row and gave everyone a hand job. Get Books for Dogs now, only at Borders Bookstores. Thanks, Books for Dogs.
That was Books for Dogs,
yeah,
everybody.
That was.
Now, what do you think of Books for Dogs?
I'm just hoping we see some money from Books for Dogs.
Yeah, and these are written, these ads, these real ads are written by Matt Rossomoto or Motto. No one knows what his real name is because he plays his cards very close to the vest. But Matt Rossomoto, Rossomoto. he writes our ads, and thank you for that, Matt. And, you know, dogs, you know what is funny about dogs, like, is seeing all these movies about dogs, and there are so many books about dogs. This is books for dogs, so it's different. But all these, and I have, you know, everybody knows I have, everybody. People know that I have two little dogs, and I'm so crazy. And I understand why there's a huge popularity of these dog books, because we live in a time that's bereft of love. I mean,
so animals are all we have left.
And there's very few of them.
Yeah.
Left.
But don't you find these dog movies kind of obnoxious? You don't
tell me,
feel like,
have you seen any of them?
I've tried.
What'd you see? The only dog movie I've seen is Turner and Hooch.
That's actually, Tom, I like that. That was before.
By the way, I'm reading Tom Hanks' biography with my wife.
How's that?
It's like Tom Hanks is, very, very breezy, you know, upbeat.
It's sort of like the rebellion of joy through.
No, I don't think Tom Hanks, well, he definitely did. I mean, anybody who achieves a lot in life, I think this is a true statement. You know, he had adversity.
What Tom Hanks?
Well, his dad was. Did we just lose something?
I for some reason, my headphone is like going. I'm having a panic attack. And it's possible.
Are we on the same headphone?
No.
Oh, right. You're fucking with mine now.
Oh, I am.
Hello. Okay, so Tom Hanks. Well, he came from a. You know, his dad. His dad got divorced young. His dad moved around a lot. You know, like he had an unstable
childhood.
Yeah, it was rough, I think, reading about it. But, you know, he got enough support, I guess, to, you know. I didn't get much support, you know. I mean, I got some support, that's for sure.
Well, you had your grandmother was real loving.
That's right. You remember
right?
that.
I remember that.
Steve Lally in a Chicago Cubs hat. Chicago Cubs, 4 straight losses. Not
you sound
good.
Like Brody right now.
Trying to do a little homage to Brody, who, ah, oh, poor Brody. Festival of Sports. I did his podcast.
You did. He played the baseball card game with us in the lobby a couple times.
Yeah. Man, he was a big Cubbies.
A big time.
Fan.
They loved him, the Cubs.
Oh, they loved Madden. Had some.
Yeah.
Joe Madden, the manager of the Cubs. So, yeah. So, baseball is a way to,
yeah,
you know,
that's
get
a way
joy.
To kind of get joy.
I order shirts off.
Oh, that's funny as hell.
What?
So, Eddie says to me, I think the theme, and just hear me out, I think the theme of our podcast should be rebellion through joyousness. And then he goes, excuse me, I'm ordering a shirt off Instagram. And I couldn't believe, this guy is not the kind of guy who you would picture ordering a shirt off of Instagram.
Now, what I mean by off of Instagram is that they run ads, and just one of the shirts, I'm a bit of a clothes hound. I think, you know, a fashion dog, a fashionista, I think you could tell that.
For the purple sunglasses, kind
of
give it
away. Well, I think people can tell that I'm a bit of a, you know, clothes sportsman. And it was a shirt that caught my eye. I love, like,
there were like 3 of them.
I love, like, colorful. I love colorful,
yeah,
stripes. I love, you know, I don't know.
They were nice. But You were getting lost on the shirt thing, man.
I pick Steve up where I always pick him up. I'm not going to tell you guys where because, you know, a lot of people murder people. But I pick Steve up and he got in the car and I'm ordering a shirt.
I could see the radicalization of the dye-in-the-wool radical seeping away in these moments as Eddie was ordering shirts.
But before I ordered the shirt, I was listening to Chomsky talk about, you know, the rise of nationalism across the globe, the right wing nationalists and all the anti-Semitism that's going on in Germany, not to mention here in our beloved land of, you know, and this is all going to tie into everything about anxiety, because I think one of the things that makes me anxious is reading too much Chris Hedges. But I feel like the truth is liberating, though. But I also think I can have a very bleak worldview from.
So you need to kind of know how to balance it and not let it eat you and consume you. I mean, that's what whenever we talk about Hedges, my response is always this. He's a brilliant guy, but I hope he's not right.
Oh, he's right.
He very well may be. Oh, wow, my headphones just came back. Yours had gone out?
Wow. Well, one of the years was
too.
A little shaky.
Me too.
Folks, we try not to burden you with our technical issues, but I think it's good that we pull down the veil of show business and let you see into it. It's very glamorous. I would choose no other field, you know, unless it had good benefits and good money.
We're the Hedges and Chomsky of podcasting.
it's you can't get caught up in every waking moment, you know, thinking about fascism, the destruction of a democracy, which is going on. So is it, you know.
Right, but you can't, you're going to walk around letting this be an albatross around you when you have only a limited amount of control over these things that are happening anyway. And, you know, it's good to order shirts if that's what it takes. If you need to order some shirts or check the Yankee score, you know, I spend a good 10 or 15% of the day looking at Cubs stats.
No, I understand that, because what you're doing is you need a breather from the anxiety. You need a breather from that reality that is making you, you know, a little anxious, right?
Sometimes it's just not going on social media for a day or two, and I'll feel better. I'll feel good. Because Twitter and Facebook, it's a beatdown of egos thrusting into, you know, infinity to tell you.
If I go on now, I'm kind of making the conscious decision. Well, I don't get into fights with anybody anymore. I mean, I really don't. That's, you know, that's so 2019, early 2019, late 2018. But especially with the election coming up and all the bullshit that's going to go on.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, you know, who's going to get nominated? And meanwhile, you know, like I have said, we're all going to be in camps with I voted stickers on. Everybody thinks, you know, voting is, well, it's important, but it's certainly, you know, our democracy is dead.
It's been.
Our democracy is dead. You know,
it's been gone
be
for a while. It's kind of like being high when the headphones go out like that. It's like a little bit of a trip. I only have one ear working.
Now?
Yeah.
Me too. It's okay. But let's read our next ad and then we'll get to another call. I think the podcast is going great so far. And welcome to YouTube viewers. I hope you're watching this on YouTube, and subscribe to us on YouTube, you know, I review us on iTunes, you know, please, you know, SoundCloud.
Donate.
Would be great.
Hit the donate button.
And hit the donate button. You know, we have a donate button now and we've had some nice donations, you know, but I've got to give Steve half of it, so it's not that great. I was feeling good for a while. And then I was like, oh, I got to
get... That was his anxiety. That's why he woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I got to give Steve 50 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. 45. We've made $90 lately. I'm just thinking of the amount of money that, you know, Marin, Rogan takes in. Like, just unbelievable money, you know. Other people, we're splitting 90 bucks. So anyway, donate to us. The donate button on the peptalkspodcast.com. And you could email us at fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. You can leave a message at 424-262-0904. I'm not going to be at Laugh Boston. I think I mentioned it on this show, but I had to cancel Sunday, June 3rd, because that's just a bad fucking night, it turns out, and I wasn't selling many tickets. It has nothing to do with my popularity. It has everything to do with, you know, not promoting the whole thing. You know, if I had a weekend there, it'd be good. So anyway, if anyone's looking to book me anywhere in the country, Boston, wherever, please do. I've been ordering a lot of shirts lately, and my credit card bills are very high.
He's got some new stylish shirts he's going to bring to your city.
I was supposed to read that information at the end of the show, but I figured it's good to pepper throughout. So our next sponsor, and these ads are written by Matt Rasamata, Rasamiti. I think it's Rasamoto.
It is.
This is Mendel Surplus Merkin Outlet is your one-stop shop for all your genital wig needs. Now, this is genital wigs, and I know a lot of people don't like to talk about genital wigs, but these people, these fine people at Mendel Surplus Merkin Outlet, they're all about that. You know, I know my genitals need a wig. And anyway, the 90s are over, grunge rock is dead, silicone boobs are out, and the Barbie and Ken look is gone, gone, gone. It's 2019, and Bush is back, baby. When you take your date back to your pad, you don't want a schlong that looks like a peeled carrot. She wants to see a fat cucumber that looks like it's rolled under the fridge. The fuzz is fabulous. Oh, hey.
Hey.
Stop touching that. Don't slip your sausage into a dolphin's blowhole. Where's the grip? You need the sensual pleasure of dipping your dinkus into the clogged drain hole of a Greek bath. Mendel Surplus Merkin Outlet has been helping the tri-state area fluff to their stuff since 1982. Add fluff to their stuff. Let me read that again. Mendel Surplus Merkin Outlet has been helping the tri-state area add fluff to their stuff since 1982. Our team of genital tailors, I have a genital tailor. he's a great guy, you know, old Jewish fella.
So in Silver Lake, where's he at?
He's in the metro area. Our team of genital tailors can custom fit a crotch rug for any body shape. Let Mendel Merkins cover your damp and sticky bits in 100% real human hair, while advancement in Merkin technology make the new genital shrubbery indistinguishable from a natural undergrowth. And that's important. You want it to look exactly like your undergrowth. Mendel will help get your schmeckle tangled in the schmundi like a pile of Christmas lights in a garbage disposal. At Mendel Surplus Merkin Outlet, we got you covered.
Because he uses your own hair. He gets the hair off your backside.
It didn't say that, do you know this?
I've been there. I'm a client.
Oh, okay. So they shave. They'll take hair from different parts of you.
Exactly.
Sort of like a skin graft.
Kind of.
Except it's done at Mendel Merkin's. And your schmeckle will be in a schmuckle.
It's kosher.
Your schmeckle will be in a schmundi.
It's blessed by a rabbi.
It's blessed by a rabbi. So anyway, thank you. We're looking to get paid on these ads. We have not gotten paid for any of them, but they are good ads. All right, let's listen to another call. Here we go. Whoop. God damn it. Okay.
I hope y'all can help me, Steve. I hope y'all can help me.
Hold on. That sounded like a cry for help. Here we go. Nope. I don't know what's going on here, folks, with this piece.
This is a professional podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a piece of shit.
you have tuned into.
Hi, Eddie and Steve. I hope y'all can help me sort my feelings out about this. I was reading that organic vegan pea powder has traces of Roundup in it. And that's just put me in a tailspin. But the other part of me is like, okay, our bodies are strong. We have livers that can detoxify all of that. And I was just hoping you could help me sort my feelings out about it. And also, Eddie, on David Feldman's podcast, he and Laura House had such nice things to say about you. It was just so nice to hear all of that. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you so much. And yes, I love David Feldman. I love Laura House. I was on Feldman's podcast a lot. David was based here in L.A. Now he's moved to New York because he's a coward. You know, New York's a real city where you can get kind of emotional support. Here in L.A., we exist on nothing but, you know, brutal, brutal, brutal sunshine. Horrible, phony relationships, promises that aren't kept. But in New York, you know, it's a little rougher, but it's real, you know. And Feldman cowardly went to New York. And Laura House, great. She's here in L.A., great writer and comic. And thank you for that. Now, the other thing was that vegan
pea protein,
which I do, has traces of Roundup in it. And which is known to cause cancer. I believe someone was just Monsanto. This is a great man. And Bayer bought Monsanto. Do you know that?
Because Obama let him. He allowed the merger to happen between Obama.
That was an Obama decision?
That was our heroic Sidney Poitier fantasy that America acted on.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, and we've talked about this many times on the podcast ad infinitum, is we want people to see through the phony promises of corporate Democrats, you know. We're both Bernie people, right?
We have all the power, dude. We outnumber them. And the media doesn't want them to know that we do. And we do. And so, you know, you got to start grabbing people by the throat. Got to start grabbing people by the shirt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And shaking them and telling them, you know, grab the center and pull to the left.
Grab the center and pull to the left. And that's, yeah. Then the Bernie campaign is doing that. He recently came out and went after the Pentagon, which thank God he's doing
that.
And thank God somebody's doing that. I mean, for Christ's sake, all the money that is spent on endless wars. But let's get back to corporate malfeasance and the horrible company, the horrible corporation that is Bayer / Monsanto, you know, genetically modified organisms, GMOs, and they're using Roundup, which has been known to cause cancer, and they do they're just a monopoly. They monopolize seeds.
Yeah, they buy the seed so other farmers can't use the seed to grow.
And if their seed winds up on farmers' property,
they can prosecute.
They do. They've ruined farmers. Yeah. They've ruined people. There's a great documentary about a Canadian farmer who was ruined by Monsanto because they have lawyers up the ass and, you know, which is why I lawyer up. I have so many incredible lawyers. I just want to take a moment to thank all the lawyers that are part of T. Pepitone. But anyway, yeah, so I never heard that, by the way, that there's traces of Roundup in pea protein. I would say if you want to go the vegan route, hemp protein is the best. I still use pea protein. I haven't heard that or read that. It might be true, it might not, but go to hemp protein.
What is it, glycemate? What's the chemical in Roundup that's so glucosamate?
I don't know. I'm way too interested in the Yankees. They've been 25-9 without Aaron Judge.
Or the other guy, Stanton. He's out too, right?
Yeah.
This is a good distraction from
No, but I'm being frivolous there. But yeah, I don't know what the chemical is in Roundup. I just...
Well, the point is that it's been used so much in food in the past 25 mm-hmm. years that it's in our soil. So you can't...
right.
get around some of that being in your food. It's going to be in the food. It's just corporations sold us down the river, and so your food are going to have traces of that, especially if
corporations have not only sold us down the river, corporations have polluted the river, you know, have toxified the river, you know. And they continue to do so, and they fuck our food supply, and they fuck our air, you know. The fracking, which is getting a right. little...
ruins the water.
It's unbelievable what fracking does. And, you know, the corporate state, which is what we live in. I mean, this Dakota Access Pipeline that when Trump got elected... You know, and when Obama was elected and there were people, you know, indigenous people protecting their land and their water, they were called water protectors in the frigid
yes.
North Dakota winter, protecting that pipeline from being completed. They were brutalized by police and private security firms under Obama.
They were brutalized under Obama.
Our great Democratic president.
Worse, he pretended. He signed some Army Corps of Engineers thing pretending to stop the pipeline to get the protesters to leave, thinking right. the pipeline had been stopped. And the next day, the protesters was like, they're still building it, you know?
So yeah.
It's just...
It's unbelievable.
It's bad, man. It's bad.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, thank you so much for the call. And, you know, use hemp protein and check your sauce, your sources as well. All right, let's go to another call here. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Eddie and Steve. This is Annika from LA. I called a little while ago and told you guys about my mother, mi mama, who is a immigrant from Mexico. She is currently a Latina for Trump. She is super huge supporter. And if you could just kind of imagine the stereotypical, like, Trump supporter, you know, just reading, like, Breitbart News and watching Fox News and listening to Rush Limbaugh and just taking in the very superficial headlines and not thinking deeply. That is basically my mom in a petite Latina form. So it's very odd, and so I haven't spoken to her in about a month or two because of the latest thing that happened. I wanted to get your input on it. So basically, my mom works as a Spanish teacher, which is a great job for an immigrant, right? Teach your language, share your culture at a really nice, fancy private school in Florida, and she gets paid very well. And she was fired because out of all the millions, literally millions of topics you could choose to discuss during class in order to teach your students Spanish, she was bringing in articles about the wall, if you, W-A-L-L, the wall, over and over and over, day after day, bringing in these, like, insane articles about, like, why we need it, why it's so great. I mean, it just was crazy, and there's other high school students, and finally, some of the students stood up to her and said, you know, this isn't right, like, and took it to the principal, and it was this whole thing, and my mom got very indignant, and then she was fighting with a student about Trump and the wall and these abstract ideas, and so she was fired, and my dad is on her insurance. My dad is going to treatment for colon cancer, and now
There's a second part of it. Here's the rest of it.
Hey, so basically, I was just wondering if you guys could help me find the humor in all of this and help me to laugh. Honestly, I found out about 2 months ago. She was kind of hiding it from me. And when I found out, got in a really heated argument. Why would you, out of all the things, like, why would you pick the most divisive topic in our current culture? Teach kids. And so, you know, it's like all these things come up about, like, people are talking about teachers are so great and this and that. It's like, they're not all that great. You know, I went to public school in New Jersey. I can't remember one teacher who I would consider great. It's like, so there's that whole subject. And then there's, like, you know, my mom being an immigrant and talking about all this. And then these students who stood up to her, who I wish I could, like, just congratulate for doing that, you know. And then I don't want her to be fired because my dad can't get his ridiculous treatments for cancer. And, like, it's just crazy. So maybe you can help me to, like, I don't know, roast her on your podcast or just, like, maybe make some jokes because, like, it's just fucking insane. And what a crazy world. Yeah. But anyways, I really love you guys so much. You bring me so much joy, and I hope to see you live in concert, as they used to say. It's the Comedy Store soon. All right, love you guys. Bye.
That's the great Annika. Yeah. I met Annika. Came up and introduced herself at Flappers. I headlined Flappers this weekend, and you were there Friday.
Annika
came Saturday.
Right. Eddie and I performed together for the first time.
Yes, it was
on
really
Friday.
Cool.
It was very fun.
That was cool. Yeah.
I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I was performing with this brilliant guy.
Which one?
You.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love that. What?
I had a great show Friday night, and then Saturday night I didn't feel too good.
But then I had a great show Saturday.
You were in the Ice House.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a wild story. Her dad has colon cancer and is on her mom's insurance, and her mom got fired.
Man.
And her mom is Latina. And she is bringing in articles to these students about how great the wall is.
Right. She sabotaged
I think
own.
We've talked about this a little before. I mean, the humor in this.
You find it because heavy shit.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's, you know, I just watched, and this isn't to brag, I just watched, again, the movie called My Dinner with Andre. And it's a great movie.
Just to cheer
and
yourself
at one
up.
Point, and at one point, Andre is saying, "You know, Wally. If you ever see this movie, it's Wallace Shawn, the playwright and actor, and Andre Gregory, who's a director,
right?
And I think he acts as well. But you know, they have these incredible philosophical discussions, and Andre goes, "You know, Wally." There's this physicist in Scotland who thinks that the new types of prisons are the cities. For instance, he thinks New York is just a prison where people are the jailers and the wardens. You know, and I'm thinking that Annika's mom is like people want their prison. People don't want
freedom.
Freedom. It's too scary. Like, people want to be in jail, you know, and she's the warden and the jailer, you know, or she's the, you know what I mean?
That's pretty profound.
And yeah, I believe in this man, this lunatic fuck who wants to build a wall. You know, one, I mean, literally a physical wall.
$9 billion wall, by the way. We're not talking about a chain link fence.
Yeah, while he doesn't pay taxes and while he cuts taxes to billionaires.
Right.
And so now, you know, more and more people and corporations don't, you know, so many corporations don't pay taxes.
None.
I mean, there was a list that you could Google this, corporations that didn't pay taxes in 2018. Amazon, Apple, it's unfucking real. So the humor in it, Annika, is, you know, it's like your mother, you know, is just absolutely going to defend a person who is wanting to constrict her and imprison her and us. And unless you have many, 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 many millions, billions of dollars, you know, Donald Trump and his ilk, you know, are not for you. They should be fought tooth and nail, you know.
But it's her mom.
Yes.
So this is why, because I have a Republican dad, but he's not a Trump, like, he's not like her mom. He's a Trump sympathizer. He didn't vote for Trump, but he watches all the propaganda, sympathizing with Trump against the deep state and all that shit. And so my advice would be to try to, oh gosh, this is so hard, man.
Yeah.
Try to let her figure it out on her own. Try to let her figure it out on her own, because the more you push and pull on her, although I know you want to punch her in the head, the more you push and pull on her political lust. She has, like, she's experiencing political, ravenous political lust. She's going through a political adolescence where she's, like, horny for Trump. So you've got to just let her get the chlamydia. You've got to, like, let her get the sex, the disease and find out on her own. And the more you punch at her, the more she's going to dig her heels in. And that's all.
Well, what also is very funny to me, what struck me as funny in this story was that Annika's mom is hiding things from her. And like the idea, she was hiding the fact that she got,
fired
for this reason or just getting fired. And that to me is kind of funny that the mom is hiding. You know, the mom is acting like the daughter.
Right, like a kid.
You know, like a kid. And the daughter is the mom, like, lashing. Like, oh, and I can't believe, you know.
But the father's on the insurance with can't. Like, come on, that's not funny, dude. That's, like, heavy shit. So mom's got to figure it out on her own. She's got to figure it out on her own. I don't know. That could be the wrong advice, but I feel like that's.
Yeah.
What do you say, Eddie? What do you say about that? I mean, if it was your dad, you just tell him, go fucking. If it was your dad that you were dealing with Trump like that, if he was...
Oh, if my dad was a Trump supporter?
Or something like a family member or somebody close to you.
Well, Annika's mom sounds like she's crazy into Trump. And I don't think I'd be able to deal with that. I would have to kind of relate to my dad talking about what we do as a typical male bonding thing. We talk about
baseball.
The New York sports teams.
Right.
You know, football. Hey, the Giants, you know, what do you think of the Giants' first draft pick? And he'll go, whoa, I didn't follow it. Tell me. And I'll go, oh, they got this guy from Purdue, but most of the experts will say, God, I hope he's good. And we do that. Or else I'll talk about Mozart's piano concerto. You know, but if he's aggressively pro-Trump, I'll tell him to shut the fuck up and read a book. We got to go to a couple of more calls. But thank you, Annika. It was great meeting you. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Steve. It's Mike from Chicago. How you guys doing? Big fan. Hey, it's a question for Eddie. Eddie, like you, I am a fan of the brilliant show that is the genius, really, that is Modern Family. And in fact, I'm auditing a night class right now at the Learning Annex that is breaking down the arc of the cultural commentary the show has made. Down to the years by character, by storyline, by season. It's actually kind of a lot. It's pretty intense. I think I'm going to probably drop it right now and then take it again in the fall. But in any event, I wanted to share with you and get your kind of hot take on the discussion from class the other night, where we were talking about the show's ability to continuously evolve societal norms as it relates to same-sex marriage, immigrants' ability in this country to acclimatize in an upper-middle-class society, as well as the ideological shift the show has made, moving the country's views on all these topics forward over its 11-year season. So I will hang up and listen for my answer. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for calling attention to Modern Family and all, you know, and the fact that it is, you know, one of the most progressive forces for change in our country.
That's so sad.
And by the way, I totally get it, Mike, that you have to drop the class on Modern Family right now at the Learning Annex. You know what I mean? I would go with something a little less heavy, a little less intellectual, like perhaps This Is Us.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't burden yourself, you know. I mean, it sounds like you're a busy person. And the only way you could really delve and dig your teeth into something like Modern Family is if you have – you know, a lot of time. Gauguin, Monet, when they painted water lilies, the only way that they were able to really, you know, delve into the essence of water lilies and, you know, the collages that Monet made at the end of his life was because he had time. And you're tackling a deep, deep subject in Modern Family and what they have done to evolve, you know, same-sex marriage and, you know, the acclimation of immigrants is just, it's legendary and people have to watch the show. You know, it's just, I mean, just look at the state of our country and Modern Family is a big reason why. let's see. Boy, we've had a lot. We had a lot of calls. I didn't realize that we had so many calls. Let's see. Let's check this one out.
What could I say that someone else hasn't said to inflate his ego some more?
Eddie Pepitone. He's always thumbing through medical journals to see what disease he has.
Hey, welcome to Eddie Pepitone. God fucking damn it. I'm sorry.
Hey, Pepitone, how come you started praying?
By the way, folks, don't feel like you have to laugh.
Because you just couldn't say enough to help his ego or self-loathing to be more or less.
Eddie Pepitone.
Hey, Pepitone, how come you dream about red birds attacking you at night?
So, what could we tell the bitter Buddha that he doesn't already know? Everything. But I digress. In my insanity. Toodles.
Ah, that was more than a phone call. That was a presentation.
Phone call was better produced than our podcast.
Yeah, don't embarrass us like that and interweave, you know, songs. That was me singing the Eddie Pepitone theme song. And I did that.
I like the little sound tones he put on the, like.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for that call. And that was a very good call. We have another call here. Let's see.
The Modern Family call was great, too.
Oh, yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I know you guys haven't been getting a lot of calls lately, so I figured I'd leave a voicemail.
Yeah, we heard that.
That was the panic attack. All right, let's see what we got here. Okay, we got that. Oh, good. We're getting to the... here we go. Here's another one.
Hey, Eddie. It's Spencer Hawkins. I'm from West Virginia, but I thought it was really funny that you did a podcast and talked about the abortion ban in Alabama, because I'm actually driving through there right now, and it's crazy. If you can imagine, like, half of their roadways being closed down for, like, maintenance that's never going to get finished, and cars everywhere. That's literally how it is. It's now 1:53 in the morning, and I'm still in traffic. Like, traffic at 1:53 in the morning.
Wow.
It's crazy. I just want to let you know that to never come to Alabama because I'm never coming back. I work for a delivery company, so it's my job, and I had to come down here, but I'm never coming back here. It was a total nightmare. I had to go through Birmingham, like the city, and there was literally crackheads walking through the standstill traffic, like asking for money at windows. It was crazy.
Like,
but yeah, never come to Alabama. It's insane.
That was from the Alabama Tourism Board. thank you, Spencer, for that call. And yeah, I mean, what he was talking about, well, first of all, the abortion ban that is going on in the country is really fucked up. I don't know how to put it more articulately, but, you know,
it's draconian punishment for women.
Well, it's and what they're trying to do is to get the Supreme Court, the very right-wing Supreme,
to overturn
Roe versus Wade. You know these fucking pricks, right? These Christian right fascist pricks who, you know, who are behind this and the corporate state. You know, the corporate state doesn't want this. Part of the corporate state doesn't want this because, you know, people are going to organize. You know, they don't want people to fucking organize. And this may be like poking the beast that is.
Tugging on Superman's cape.
A little bit. I mean, you know, you keep taking stuff away from regular people. You keep taking away, you know, you keep fucking raising rents. Wages are stagnant. The pollution gets worse. What Spencer talked about, the construction going on.
Well,
now,
in LA, it's fucking crazy.
Every major city you go to, they're just, you know, all this construction is just so fucking insane. The noise pollution, the pollution. And, you know, and then talking about like crackheads going through, window to window. And, you know, there's so many people who are homeless, so many people who are addicted to drugs, yet all we have is money for fucking endless wars, right? Just endless fucking money, trillions into the Pentagon, spreading hate and violence and death. And, you know,
$30,000 an hour since 9/11. That's what we spent on the war.
It's mind-boggling, you know? It's mind-boggling, and they're going to poke the fucking beast a little too much. Here's another call from my buddy Mike.
Hey, Eddie Pepitone. It's your best friend in the whole world, Mike Bobbitt. That's presumptuous. You're married. It's your best friend in the whole world, Mike Bobbitt. I was going through my phone. I saw it was hacked. Someone asked you to promote a podcast, the Truth Cast, on your podcast. Stands for True Revelations Uncovered to Heroism. Comes out every Thursday on all podcasting platforms. I just want to ask you not to do that. You know, there's a couple of guys claiming to be me and Alex Bosnovic, and we got our careers to think of. Man, I have credibility. I've been on WTF. Alex, I don't know. Alex might have something happening eventually, but please don't give those guys the time of day. They act like they're heroes because they're telling people about conspiracies like Bigfoots or Big Feet or lizard people or whatever. When there's too much real news going out there. These guys aren't helping anyone. They're not heroes. So, you know, please do not let people know about the Truth Cast every Thursday on every podcasting device, because that's just no good, man. And thank you again for coming to Michigan. I love you with all my heart. Bye.
That's the great Mike Bobby, and he's asking me not to promote the Truth Cast on Thursdays on all your better-known podcasting platforms. So I'm not going to do it.
Let's not mention the Truth Cast at any time.
Yeah, Uncovering the Truth Through Acts of Heroism. There's no way I'm going to give that any plug. Truth Cast every Thursday. Here's another call that just came in. We haven't screened this one.
Whoa,
so hopefully,
cool.
Hopefully.
That's a good sign for us.
Hi, Eddie. I'm a 20-year-old from Ohio, and I kind of just, keeping with the theme of the podcast so far, you guys have been talking about what it's like to spend eternity alone and other depressing stuff like that, but I've been kind of considering what it's like, and I don't know if I want to take the responsibility of ever having a wife and experiencing what that's like to lose someone and then go and die by yourself, or the alternative is better, and it's better to have loved and then lost. Love your podcast. Thanks.
So what'd you make of that one? So he was talking
about... I love how you ask me.
Well, because
he was in and out.
Oh, our audio feed wasn't great, but thank you.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to get married. Okay. That's what I think he was saying. Because
let's
better.
Play it again. We're really okay. Quick. Let's play it again.
Hi, Eddie. I'm a 20-year-old from Ohio, and I kind of just keeping with the theme of the podcast so far. You guys have been talking about what it's like to spend eternity alone and other depressing stuff like that. But I've been kind of considering what it's like. And I don't know if I want to take the responsibility of ever having a wife and experiencing what that's like to lose someone and then go and die by yourself, or the alternative is better, and it's better to have loved and then lost. Love your podcast. Thanks.
He's assuming he's not going to be the one who dies and leaves a spouse who's alone.
But what was the alternative thing? Between what and what?
I think he said, because he was going in and out, he said to die, to love, and it's better to have loved and lost. He's assuming he's going to lose a loved one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
it was brought down by facing eternity alone. And my point at the beginning was that we do face eternity alone. I mean, if you're surrounded by your family and friends, in my case,
the
it would
man.
Be the Department of Water and Power.
That's more depressing than that. At least the mailman comes once a day. The Department of Water and Power, like,
from what I've heard,
quarterly.
From what I've heard, mailmen come a lot. It's a very sexual business.
You should have done that. That was your calling, Eddie.
No, but thank you very much. You know, we depressing topic. I don't know. I feel
he's 20.
He's 20. I feel like, you know, that is a problem, that people think talking about real life things are depressing, or, you know, talking about death, talking about anxiety. You know, the more we talk about it, the less depressing it gets. You know what I mean? Right. And so many fucking people are dealing with it. And if you're not dealing with depression and anxiety, in my opinion,
you're a coward.
But if you're not in show business, you're a coward. But if you're not dealing with depression or anxiety, you're A, either very lucky, or B, you have your head up your ass. You know what I mean? And you are ignoring reality. And now we have one more sponsor ad to read, and then we have to end the podcast. We're a little over. Now more than ever, Death Arena fighting robots need your help. As the popularity of violent robot death sports gain in popularity, so does the number of retired, injured, and sociopathic harbingers of mechanized malice. They need a safe, loving place to spend their twilight years. Yeah, we're talking about robots who have been used fighting, like gladiators.
Right.
And if you could just open up your home, we are sure a Death Arena fighting robot could open up your family. Gladys Slorno of Candle Wax, Ohio says, when Blood Demon 666 was delivered to our home, I took one look in his pulsating eye slit and fell in love with its spiked hell chains thrashed their way into our hearts. Gary Slouchmouth of Fort Pencil, Arizona told us, I'll admit it took some getting used to, but when Laser Slayer glitches at night, the shrieking inhuman tones of a godless automaton reminds us we did the right thing. It has already given this family so much. The twins have tinnitus. The love you get from a death arena fighting robot is as unique and special as the model and VIN number located in the nuclear furnace where a heart should be. Visit www.deatharenafightingrobotsproject.org and begin your journey of love by adopting one of these menacing metal behemoths of rampaging destruction today. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, robots are fighting for us now.
That'll keep you from spending eternity alone. Get one of these robots. If you're feeling alone and like you need some company, get one of these fighting robots to keep you company until
and
you
hey
die.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Do you like pep talks? Well, of course you do, and so does Pirate 41, who gave us 5 stars on iTunes. Pirate 41 says, I love this podcast. I love Eddie and the chemistry with Steve. Eddie is awesome. Love to see him live recently. Also, Yvette Lamont and Rick Overton have been awesome guests. Keep it up, guys. And she's not the only one. AndroShy64 tossed us 5 stars, calling Pep Talks podcast very funny and informative. Did you hear that, Dad? I don't need to prove nothing to you. It's spelled out right here, all over these reviews. The internet is sick with all my praise. I moved out of the house when I was 14. I told you I needed nothing from you. And for the past 46 years, I've gotten everything I need from online reviews. iTunes reviews are my bread, and YouTube subscriptions are my wine. SoundCloud is like my aperitif, I guess. And for my dessert, you can... Anyway, so if you want to leave a message for the podcast, folks, 424-262-0904. That's 424-262-0904. We had great calls today, as you heard. Email us. If you want, email us, too. Fan mail, if you don't feel like talking. Email us, fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. That's fanmail@peptalkspodcast.com. Visit peptalkspodcast.com. Hit the donate button. Engineers, our engineer today was Emma Erdbrink. And our other engineer is Aaron Brungart. And our producer is Matt Rasamoto or Mato. We don't know how that is pronounced. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Good night.